If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share with you today from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 40. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin with verse number 40. And it's speaking, of course, of Jesus when it refers to the child here. It says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The title of my message today is, "Where is Christ after Christmas?" Where is Christ after Christmas? Years ago in a European country, a christening was to take place for a baby born to royalty. Servants met guests at the door and took their coats and their wraps. But it was realized after a time that the baby, the guest of honor, if you will, could not be found. Then a guest remembered seeing the child on a bed where the coats were being placed. And the parents checked, and to their horror, they discovered that their child, the reason for the event, was dead. He had been smothered by the coats of the guests. And I share that to parallel the fact that in the celebration of the season that we have just celebrated, Christ, the reason for the season, is often lost. And so we Christians, we strive, or at least we should, to keep him in Christmas. We do that, don't we? Amen? Thank you for that underwhelming response. We hear a lot of talk about keeping Christ in Christmas, and we should. But the question I have for us today is, what significance does he have in our lives after the celebration? How much of a focus is Christ in our lives after the last carol's been sung, after the decorations have been put away and all the gifts have been opened? You know, I've commented how wonderful it is, and I'm sure you've noticed, to be in public places and stores and hear songs about Christ. And that is awesome, isn't it? I think so. But you won't hear that for another, 11 months or so. And so... the question, more importantly, has to be asked, where is the Christ of Christmas, after Christmas, in our lives? Now, the passage we read here in Luke chapter 2 tells about another celebration, the Passover, which commemorated Israel's release from bondage to Egypt. And it was the ambition of all adult males to attend Passover. As a matter of fact, it was commanded that those within 15 miles of Jerusalem would attend. And even though this passage takes place when Jesus was now 12 years old, it comes right on the heels of Luke's record of Christ's birth. And so I thought it'd be significant to look at it today on this first Sunday after Christmas. Jesus had now matured, as it says in verse 40, and at 12 years old became a son of the law. So he went to Jerusalem with his parents for his first Passover.
I believe that Mary and Joseph's situation in losing and then finding their son has a parallel in our lives about retaining or continuing to focus on the significance of Christ in our lives. And so for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what must we understand to stay close to Christ at all times, even after the Christmas celebration? What must we understand to remain close to Christ at all times? You know, Jesus said in John 15, remain or abide in me. Stay close to me. How many know you can never go wrong if you stay close to Jesus? But the fact that Jesus said that means sometimes we can drift. Isn't that true? Remain in me, stay close to me. So what must we understand to stay close to Christ at all times? The first thing is that we can be unaware of his absence from our everyday lives. We can be unaware of his absence from our everyday lives. Jesus, it says here, had stayed behind in the temple to hear the teachers of the law lecture and ask them questions, as many others did. This was not uncommon. Mary and Joseph, however, it says, quote, were unaware of his absence. How could this be, you may wonder? Well, people from the same general area or same general region would travel together in large caravans to attend Passover. And Mary and Joseph may have each thought Jesus was with the other parent. Men and women would often travel separately. And so they may have thought Jesus was with the other one or was with other relatives in the caravan. And so they were unaware that he wasn't in their party. And, you know, that's a difficult place to be, a perilous place to be. It's perilous to be unaware of some things. Scripture tells us of another person who was unaware of something. Remember Samson, whose strength came from his long hair? After Delilah had deceived him and cut off his hair and thus taken away the power of his strength, the scripture says he was unaware that his strength had left him, and it led to disastrous results. We can often be unaware of things. Have you seen that commercial? It's I believe, for a roofing company, and it's a cartoon, and it shows the front of a house, and it shows a flashing neon sign on the front of the house saying, your roof needs to be repaired. And the voiceover says, wouldn't it be nice if we had a warning sign when our roof shingles gave out and our roof needed repair? And of course, the obvious answer is we don't have a warning sign until there's a leak into our house. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we're not as close to Christ as we used to be, we had some flashing neon signs, you know, or maybe on our smartphone there's an alert, drifting from Christ, take corrective action. But there isn't. How many believers are unaware of the fact that the power of God that was once evident in their lives is now gone? They may even stress the significance of Christmas. They may say, let's keep Christ in Christmas. But their lives give evidence of a love grown cold. This morning, I respectfully ask, whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching online, is the presence of Christ a strong reality in your life? Are you walking close to him? Is he, as we sang a few minutes ago, at the center of your life? Or has there been a drift? Let's not be unaware. I believe as we end one year and prepare to begin another, I believe it's appropriate to take inventory, don't you? To take stock and say, What's the status, excuse me, of my walk with Christ? Does that fire burn like it used to? Is he the center of my life like he used to be? Am I walking close to him? Or have I drifted? The truth of the reality of the matter is we can be unaware of our distance from Jesus Christ. What's the second thing we need to understand to remain close to him? It's even more dire than the first. Not only can we be unaware of our distance from him, but we can carry on as if nothing has changed. It says here in verse 44, not only were they unaware of his absence, they traveled on. They were moving right along. They were getting on with life. In traveling as a caravan, women would sometimes leave earlier than the men because they traveled more slowly. And the men would eventually catch up with them by nightfall when the group separated into families. Thus, it was only after a long day's journey that Christ's absence was discovered. They traveled on for a whole day. Can you imagine that? Traveling on, going about your business, parents, for a day and not knowing your child was missing. But that's what they did. When a believer, a person becomes a new believer and comes to Christ, we've talked about this so many times. It's so beautiful. I've seen it so many times, and you have too. The excitement and the enthusiasm. Do you remember when you came to Christ? Do you remember how awesome that was? And Jesus truly was at the center of your life. I mean, he was what you thought about morning, noon, and night. And you didn't miss a church service. You read your Bible every day. You prayed. You told everyone you knew, probably till they were sick of hearing it, about Jesus and what he'd done in your life. Why? Because the reality that your sins were forgiven, that you found eternal life, that Jesus had come into your life was so exciting. And it was the very focus and the very center of your life. Remember that? But what can happen many times? We go on with life. We realize that just because we've received Christ, how as awesome as that is, it doesn't mean all our problems go away, does it? It doesn't mean everything is smooth sailing. And so we go on with life and we deal with bumps and bruises along the way. And if we're not careful, we can lose some of that enthusiasm. Come on, can we just admit that? Oh, we still love the Lord. We're still his children. You know, we may still come to church, but you know, maybe we don't come as often. Maybe we get a little busy. We don't crack our Bible open like we used to. Or we don't really spend the time in prayer like we used to. Maybe we're not as enthusiastic to tell people about Jesus as we used to be. We don't intend for it to happen. No one intends to drift, but it just happens. And you know what we discover? Life goes on. Oh, I'm going to miss church. I missed church 2 weeks in a row. I missed church 3-4 weeks in a row. Hey, guess what? The sky didn't fall. The sun came up every day. You know? Life goes on. We may not consciously think those thoughts, but that's our mentality, right? And you know, okay, I don't pray and read my Bible like you, but you know, I still love the Lord, you know, and everything's cool. And what happens? We travel on like Mary and Joseph. We gotta go about our business. We go to work. We do what we need to do. And that's really a dangerous place. Because we discover, hey, life just goes on, and I'm not as close to Christ as I used to be, but I can get by. How many know God doesn't want us to just get by spiritually? He wants us to have a white-hot passion for him. So the truth of the matter is, we can go on in that state as if nothing has changed. What's the third thing we need to understand to remain close to Christ? It's this: reestablishing a strong connection with Christ must become our highest priority. Must become first. At nightfall, Mary and Joseph discovered Christ's absence and began looking for him among all those in the caravan. Can you just see them going from family to family, from friend to friend? Have you seen Jesus? He's not with us. We thought he was with family. We thought he was in the traveling caravan. We haven't. Have you seen him? Where is he? Parents, can you imagine? That's a nightmare that none of us ever want to experience. And you know, we may know folks who have experienced that. We certainly see it dramatized in TV shows and movies, and it's just, wow, we shake our heads. What a terrible thing. And they discovered that he was missing. And you know what? Suddenly, their trip back home shrank in importance. And nothing else, none of the things that perhaps they had been conversing about or talking about on the way during that day, none of them had any importance at the moment. The only important thing was finding their son. Amen? The only important thing was finding Jesus. They had to find him. And when a child is missing in our day and age, and the authorities begin looking for them, and the parents are frantic, they leave no stone unturned, and efforts are doubled as nightfall approaches. And statistics tell you, sadly, that, as nighttime comes and as more time goes by, the chances of recovering a lost child are greatly diminished. And so that becomes the number one priority. If our love for Christ has grown cold, if there's more distance between him and us than there should be, sometimes it's at the darkest moments of our lives that we make that discovery. It's at the time of our greatest trial, the time of our greatest challenge. And he's still there. He hasn't left us. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? But we've drifted, and we realize, hey, there's not that closeness that there used to be. There's not that enthusiasm. He's not quite the center of my life like he used to be. And it's at the dark times of our lives we discover that. And reestablishing that close connection needs to be the number one priority in our lives. Where is Christ after Christmas? How close am I to him? Is he at the center of our lives? If not, that needs to be job number one. And I know as we sit here and as we watch this live stream, even now, as we are on the dawn of a brand new year, hopefully a better year, probably for many of us, we probably have 1,000 things going through our minds. Things we need to do differently. Things we need to set in order. And things we need to take care of. And all that has its place. But I submit to you, at the top of the list should be our relationship with Jesus Christ. And regardless of what comes our way in 2021. Listen, we all want to feel like it's going to be a better year than 2020. And I know in the back of our minds, probably all of us are saying, hey, it has to be. Well, no, it doesn't. Right? Forgive me for telling the truth, but we don't know what will come our way. Things could be worse in many ways. But in spite of that, we can have a determination to say, Lord, whatever comes my way, Lord, I'm going to cling to you. Lord, I'm going to become closer than ever to you. Lord, I am going to place you again at the center of my life. Lord, I'm going to seek you like never before. I'm going to pray like never before. I'm going to read your word. Lord, I'm going to seek to apply the principles of your word. Lord, I am going to walk with you. No matter what takes place in my life, I'm determined. It's priority number one, job number one. I am going to have you at the center of my life. And I challenge you, if you feel like you've drifted, if you feel like the closeness and the warmth and the nearness of being close to Christ isn't there, I challenge you to make that job number one, to reestablish that strong connection with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in me or remain in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, it shall be done for you. Do we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered? How closely are we remaining in Him. So reestablishing that connection needs to be priority number one. Number four, the fourth thing we need to understand is this. Often we must quote unquote go back to reconnect with Him. We have to go back. What do I mean by that? Well, after searching for a while, a whole day actually, in that their traveling caravan, Mary and Joseph did what is logical, what any of us would do. They went back to the last place they saw Him. They went back to where they left Him, back to Jerusalem. The great Andre Crouch. How many remember Andre Crouch's music? Man, he was awesome. And he had so many powerful songs. He went to be with the Lord a few years back. One of his many great songs was "Take Me Back." Remember that? "Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received You." In other words, take me back to that closeness, that strong connection to You. There's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 18 where God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. And He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house. And He said, I want you to observe what the potter does with the clay that's on the wheel. And He said, notice, Jeremiah, that the potter, when he's forming the vessel out of the clay, when it becomes marred and imperfect, what will he do? He won't leave it in that state. He will reshape it and remold it until it takes a form and a shape that's pleasing to Him. And God said to Jeremiah, tell the nation of Israel, Israel, even though you've strayed, even though you've become marred, can I not do like the potter does with the clay and remake you and start all over again and do a new and a fresh work in this land? And God would say the same thing to each of us as individuals. You may have blown it. You may have drifted. You may have wandered. Or you may just have, I'm not talking about necessarily going out into deep sin, although that could be the case. I'm just saying maybe it's just drifted. As I said, you're just not as close to Him as you once were. He can remake you. He can do a fresh new work in your life. How many are up for that? How many would say yes to that? I'll never forget one of my Bible college professors who preached on this passage. He said this, a statement I'll never forget, just a simple statement. God approves of new beginnings. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that He's not done with us? No matter how far you may have strayed or drifted, He's not done with you. Somebody said He's the God of second chances. He's the God of third, fourth, and fifth, and thousands of chances. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And it behooves us, if we find that we've drifted, to go back. In Revelation chapter 2, when the risen Christ is dictating to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos letters to the seven churches, he has him write a letter to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them, he says, you've left your first love. Your love for me has grown cold. It's not as it was in the beginning. And he provides a remedy for that. And he says this in Revelation 2:5. The Lord Jesus Christ says this to Ephesus. He says, repent and do the things you did at first. Repent and do what you did at first. Go back to when you had a white hot passion for Jesus. Remember those things you did? Remember being anxious to be in fellowship with other believers? Remember just loving to get into the Word of God? Remember spending time in prayer? Remember sharing the gospel? Remember just walking so close to Him? If you've drifted, He says, go back and do the things you did at first. That's the remedy. That's the answer to having drifted from Him. Go back. Fifth thing we need to understand is this. we can find him again. We can find him. They went back and they found Jesus, their son, in the temple where they should have known he would be. The portion of the scripture we didn't read, he said, "Didn't you know I would be about my father's business?" He wasn't talking about Joseph, his legal father. He was talking about his heavenly father. You see, there's such a mystery in the incarnation, God the Son becoming man, that we have a hard time understanding. What was his awareness? Well, you know, when he was a baby in the manger, you know, his understanding was like that of any other baby. He was an infant. And so, it took time. Gradually, as he grew, we saw the scripture about him being filled with wisdom and growing into maturity. He, as a young child, gained understanding of who he was. The tenor of scripture teaches that. So he began to understand the unique God-man that he was. And so by the time he was this age of 12, he realized that he had a higher calling than just his earthly existence. He realized that he was responsible to his heavenly father. And so he said that he was about his father's business. And so they found him. And it says that he went with them and was subject to them. You know, one of kids' favorite games before the video age and before smartphones was hide and go seek. But I have news for you. Even in this age, kids still love that. We had a few activities with the teens back in the fall. We had a fire pit, and we were outside with the kids. Man, and some of them are here, and man, they went hiding from one another, and they loved it. You know. And so when you're playing a kid's game and you're hiding, I mean, that's fun. But one thing Jesus doesn't do is he doesn't hide from us. He doesn't play hide and go seek. He doesn't play hard to find. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where God said to Israel, he said, "While you are seeking me, I will be found of you." And so we can find him again. We can have that closeness again. We can draw near to him. It's been said, if we take one step toward him, he'll take two toward us. Because he longs to be in fellowship with us. John 15:15, Jesus said, "I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus desires that intimacy, that closeness with us. Yes, Christmas is past. Decorations are still here a little while longer. These are going to come down. Although I know some of you leave your tree up all year round. Probably more people doing that this time, right? But you understand the trappings of this season will be set aside. Where is Christ after Christmas? How close are we to him then? How much is he the center of our lives then? What do we need to understand to stay close to him? We need to understand that we can be unaware of his absence, of his not being at the center of our lives. We can also carry on, go about our business, go about life as if nothing has changed. There are no flashing warning signs, at least not that we can see with our physical eyes. We need to understand that reestablishing that strong connection with Christ needs to be our highest priority. Church, there's nothing more important than our relationship with Christ. Not one thing in life. Not what you got for Christmas. Not how well your 401k is doing. Nothing is as important as our relationship with him and reestablishing that connection. To do that, often we need to go back. We need to do what we did at first. We need to relight that fire many times. And we need to understand we can find him again. Let me tell you, as far as Christ is concerned, your greatest days, the greatest days of your Christian life are ahead of you. Isn't that encouraging? That encourages me. I don't know about you, church. I can look back in many ways, in many areas of my life, and see how I've blown it. Can you relate to that? You don't need to raise your hand, but you know, I see some nods watching online. Can you relate to that? Man, I've blown it. I've failed. I've drifted in my life at times. Boy, I want Christ, Christmas season or not, to be the center of my life. How about you?